Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G-Talk. This is Adara and Terrence Clark, and we are so happy to greet you all today. Another fabulous week, honey. We're into August now and moving through this year. It is absolutely scary how fast this year has gone.
It's too fast.
It really is. I mean, every time I look at the calendar and think, oh my goodness, we've been here almost 2 years. How can that have done? How can that be? So fast. I mean, October. We came in October, and here we are right on it. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
I think once we start becoming acclimated to our environment, or maybe I just think time is just spinning.
It is.
Because I can't believe we've been here almost 2 years.
Yeah, it's scary. And, you know, we have made some, to say amazing friends is an understatement. We have family here.
Yes.
And I don't know if we've, I know we've moved a couple of times now. We've, you know, been from California to Charlotte area to this area. And we made friends and have dear friends in Charlotte, including our kids and, you know, obviously our grandkids. And so we tremendously miss them. But we've really built some relationships here that are special.
We have. And we just spent some time when we celebrated my birthday spending, you know, with new friends and really dear friends.
Dear friends.
That you just never know. And sometimes it's easy to kind of, you know, when you move into a new place and you've left a lot of really valuable, great friends and family, and you don't know how God plans to do that in your new place.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done this so, I couldn't have planned it this way.
Mm-mm.
And it's really been neat because you definitely have to become vulnerable and allow yourself to share your heart. And some people may think it's too much or whatever the case may be, but I am seriously blessed the friendships that God has placed in our lives here.
Yeah, we love these people. Mm-hmm. They are family, and it's like we've known them forever. And I just can't say how grateful I am to God for giving us people around us that love us and that we can love. We don't ever feel alone. Feel like there's people right here that we've known forever. So
that's right.
Without any further, let's jump in, because this is obviously a topic that we started last week. We've been in the family series, mm-hmm. and we started talking last week, and you spent a great deal sharing about how God gave you this way to pray for me, and there, you know, some real specific things that the Lord is put on your heart. And you wanted to kind of extend that to talking about, you know, praying for families.
Yes.
And how we pray for our kids. And it's, and just in general, I really feel like, and I, you know, we're starting, you know, a fast this month. And I just, there's something going on this month that I feel intensified about prayer. And I've kind of in my mind called this August the month of prayer, prayer and fasting. I just feel like it's, you know, again, you know, there are times where I feel like God does that with me where it's like, you know, I want you to zone in on this or zone in on that. And I do feel like right now, there is a heaviness to pray. And I think that it's for some people out there, I think that it can become repetitious, and maybe just they could use some encouragement and some ideas on how to make their prayer life a little bit more exciting and a little bit more effective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this can be a great topic for that.
Yeah.
So why don't you go ahead and...
Well, I think with what I experienced with the prayer time with you,
mm-hmm.
the Lord had me basically just create a journal book for you. That's for you to journey through life and utilize that at any given time. And so once I was, I think it was just a couple of days before I'm completing that, I was at work and I just found myself, you know, just praying for our kids and our grandkids. And it was primarily more our grandkids at the time. And I remember, you know, the passage where it talks about the blessings from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it hit me stronger this time than normally, you know, you'll kind of say, yeah, I pray for my kids. Yes, I pray for my grandkids. And I think we look at the grandkids, we kind of look at, well, that's our kids' responsibility. And basically we just, you know, we call it the general prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people that can attest to that, you know, the general prayer, bless my kids, bless their kids, bless their mom and dad and the dog and all that.
Mm.
But he really showed me, and it was specifically, I think he was showing me how to pray for our grandkids. And it was pretty much kind of what I was doing with you. And because my heart shifted, it shifted in how I pray for you. And then I felt the shift, how I need to pray for my grandchildren, that I found myself speaking these words over them.
Mm.
You know, not just blessings, but specific words for my granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
or specific word for my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved me at work. I had to kind of take a break because it's really easy to kind of see them as second generation. And we look at, well, they have parents, that's their parents' responsibility. And we just do a covering prayer.
Mm.
And he really began to show me that this is from generation to generation. You got these two generations going on here. And, you know, we kind of will give that responsibility to the parent and say it's their job to pray over their kids, just like I prayed over mine. And he really shifted my heart to show that we both really still play a major role in our grandkids' lives.
Yeah.
I know for some, they don't have relationships with their grandkids, so sometimes they may feel, well, what role do I have? You have a lot.
Yeah.
Because he showed me how to, I seen myself writing this children's book. I seen this book of how to pray for your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more specific for mine, but I really just felt in my heart that I needed to take my depositing words, seeds into their life more seriously than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes because of them being distant, or because I think we still see that's our kids' responsibility now, it's not mine,
mm.
that we look at how we pray for them really saying it's the parents' job.
Yeah, I think there's, unfortunately, I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying and agree with you 100%. I think as a grandparent, you have a different picture, a different view. You know, it's like if I think you can view from a different lens and a different, you get a different, I like to say maybe the parent is looking from 100 feet down, the grandparents looking from 1,000 feet down.
Mm.
I just think like we, as a grandparent, and I would imagine the great grandparent, I haven't been there yet, but maybe could see it from, you know, 10,000 feet down. I don't know. But right now, the reason why is because when you're a parent, you're in the battle.
Yes.
And you're in the battle and you're battling. And sometimes you don't know, you know, why little Billy or little Johnny or whatever is doing what they're doing. And you're in the battle with that day in, day out. You know, it's like, I'll try that. Oh, he's driving me crazy. This is going on. But as a grandparent, you're not in the middle of that battle. Yet you're very aware of the battle because they're telling you the battle.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not as tied in the same way. You can kind of rise above it and be at another level and really be able, because you love both of them.
Right.
And because you love both of them, you can pray into that scenario, I think, a little bit different, a lot different
mm-hmm.
than when you were in the battle yourself. And that's the other thing, is you remember the battle.
Yes.
You remember what it was like with your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives you a different perspective to be able to really pray differently. I saw that when we were foster parents. There was a different, you know, I don't know how to explain that, but I think there was a different connection that you have. You know, these kids, they come with a lot of baggage, but you weren't part of it.
Right.
So you love them in a completely different way, and you pray for them and you care for them in a completely different way because you're trying to get them out of the feeling of where they've gone through, like saying, you know, this life is different than what you've gone through. So, you know, I know you're coming with pain and baggage and you do stuff, but I'm not part of that. And so I can step aside of that and see you from a different angle and help you mm-hmm. from that other angle. I don't know if you've seen it that way.
I do. So since we're, I know I probably jump in and I get excited about when you're talking about grandkids.
Sure.
Because it's part of what I experience when, which is what the Lord was giving my, given, showing me in my heart for you.
Mm.
Also, how do you, as far as with praying for our adult children, how is that different now for you? Or how is he transitioning your prayer for our adult children now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one of the things what happens when we become adults and our kids become adults is, you know, the your relationship changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're no longer, I want my child to be like more of a friend than they are my child. I mean, I know I'm still their parent, but when I look at my kids, I want to give them the freedom to parent the way that God is showing them to parent. So I don't want to get in that mix,
mm-hmm.
but I do want to be a support for them. And so I know they come to us, you know, with questions, and they'll come to us with more of things that are going on. I think they seek out their own, I think in a lot of ways our kids seek out their own help. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like, we've heard you our whole life, we don't want to hear you anymore. And I kind of get that from time to time, like, okay, you don't want to hear, you know what we're going to say or whatever, and mm-hmm. so you don't even bother to ask us. And I'm good with that. I don't get offended or anything. I know they need to go find their mm-hmm. solutions. So, but my prayer is still, you know, for them to not make the mistakes I made,
mm-hmm.
to see the perspective differently than maybe, you know, especially when I feel like there's some things I've contributed to. There's mm-hmm. things that I feel like when I hear them talk about it, I feel like, you know, that might be a little bit on my watch. You know, just a perspective of maybe if I had done this a little bit differently or been a little bit that way differently, then maybe they wouldn't have that perspective. Maybe not. But mm-hmm. I try to just say, God, you know, I can now pray kind of based on that, you know, to God about, you know, if there's any residue from childhood, any residue from, you know, parenting, that they're not dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough going on to, you know, help them get through some of that stuff.
Right.
So, but I really try to, I feel like when our kids, when they, you know, you have to transition to trusting their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job to parent them anymore.
Right.
You know, and I feel like sometimes I talk to other grandparents or parents who have kids who are adults, and I watch them. I'm like, why are you still parenting them?
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about you. Right. You don't realize it, but it says that you didn't do a good job because you don't trust that what you gave them, they have. That you got to keep telling them. You got to keep going back and reapplying this,
mm-hmm.
or that you keep bailing them out and helping them out and all that. And it's like, You're not helping them because one day you're going to be gone.
Right.
Our kids have gone through some really difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood back harder than it was. You know, we didn't step in and help out. We let them figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, I'm about to switch subjects, but I won't dwell there. But I think that that's a big part of it. I think it's hard as a parent, but we have to, and I've had to just say, I'm not going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not unless, you know, I'm not going to let them fall.
Right.
Not going to let them fail.
Right.
But I don't want them to know, you know, it's like, you go and do this, you go and figure this out.
Right.
And they've never failed.
Right.
They've always mm-hmm. been able to resolve their things and get through it. And, you know, yeah, we may have to, you know, help out here and there, but they've done, you know, we've believed in them and they know we believe in them and right. they've been able to go through that.
Mm-hmm. I know, just when thinking about that, as far as, you know, praying for our, how do we pray for our adult children? And I found is one of the things is going, returning back to the words that God gave you when he gave us our gifts. I think a lot of times he's given us words over the years for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times that I think we forget about that because they're grown and if they're not going in a path that we kind of, and with our lens that we think they're not going, then we kind of like, well, maybe that prayer really doesn't apply anymore. You know, there's things that specific scriptures that God gave us for our children, And I never stop saying that's not going to be, because I don't believe God's going to give me something when they're so small,
mm-hmm.
and for me not to contend for that. But I think a lot of times we forget about the prayers that were given to them when they were young.
Yeah.
And there's even times, you know, now that they're adults, that he will give me words. There's times in seasons that I can tell that they're going through a tough season, but it's not for me to jump in.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's kind of like he gives us deposits.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like he'll give us manna for them, what word is for them. And I don't, maybe that's the season I'm in, is what's the manna for them today?
Mm.
Because I see him as fresh, he's new, he gives me something fresh, new. So my heart is to see my adult kids have something fresh and new. And so there should be prayers for them. Mm. There should be something that there's times where they may not say, but I know, and I'm quite sure that Lord is, as parents, we know God will speak things in our heart that there's something tough going on with them.
Yeah.
And he'll begin to say, this is how I want you to pray. And because a lot of times we'll turn it into worry, and it's like, well, show me, Lord, how is it, you know, what, how do I need to bless them?
Yeah.
What's the word? And so, and it changes it from me worrying to really knowing he's almighty. He loves them just as much as I love them.
Yeah.
But how am I praying for them?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times we miss that because we can get so sidetracked in what we're seeing going on that prayer for them is no longer a prayer. It's either just, you know, well, they're going to do what they're going to do. They're grown.
Yeah.
And yeah. you just shut the Bible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah. And they are grown, and their way is not going to be my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. I don't need my kids to do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need them to go the direction I went.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to know that I believe in them. I mm-hmm. trust them. And I believe in the God that loves them more than he loves me, or as much as he loves me. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like he's for their good as well. It can't just be about me. But I think sometimes that is the challenge. And I think for men, I think boys are different than girls. And I think men are different than women. I think, you know, men try to, you know, there's a need for men. And I got to be careful how I say this, because that's not always the case. When men are raised with men, in other words, since there was a father in our home,
mm-hmm.
I think they're different than men that are raised without men in their home. Mm-hmm. So our boys, having me in the home their whole life, they want to develop their own thing, and I just step back and let them. I don't want to. There's gonna be a little bit of a pushback from dad, because they're now in a season where they need to now go do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that. I was there once too. I had a dad in my home, and I know I needed to go make my own way. And, you know, there's times where, yeah, I feel like the Lord gives me something for them. I don't deliver that unless I feel like they ask me to. Mm-hmm. If they don't ask, I'm not saying, because mm-hmm. I feel like I want them to have that freedom, and I don't want them to feel like I'm daddying them, you know.
Right.
I'm
the helicopter dad. Huh?
Yeah, you know, parenting them or whatever, and I shouldn't, you know. I mean, they're adults, and so they need their space, and they need to know that I'm with them and support them and love them, and I am praying for them. Mm-hmm. I am asking God to give me, you know, insight and direction and that kind of thing for them. But I want them to know that they're great young men. They're mm-hmm. young men that I believe in, and they've accomplished. I mean, both of our boys have done just amazing. You know, they both have. They're completely separate, completely different,
mm-hmm.
but they've done an amazing thing, and so has Tiana, our daughter. It's I think it's a little bit different, mm-hmm. you know, on how that is. But all you can do is you can ask God to show you, and I believe he does.
Mm-hmm.
I believe as parents, there's things that he keeps us in the loop on. I feel like there's ways we can help touch, especially the grandkids,
right.
more in a tangible way
mm-hmm.
than kids at that point.
Right.
And so I really do focus a lot of my attention, little things, you know, that we can do. You know, mm-hmm. obviously it's a little bit harder being farther away, but I remember one time when, you know, when one of our grandkids needed he wanted a little what do you call that, a board, a whiteboard. And I just, and I just went and bought him one and sent it to him and just said, you know, I'm thinking of you and I know you wanted this. And, you know, and he was, I think, I don't know, 6 or 5 at the time. And, you know, it just little things like that. It's not a big deal. It's just, I want you to know I'm thinking of you. And, you know, went out, picked him up last year and brought him out to spend time with us and things like that. You know, you just want to. And then while they're here, we spend a lot of time, I think, speaking into them about direction and wisdom and things, you know, to be and do, especially with the relationship with God. And I know now they're kind of getting into their teen years, and we can certainly say a whole lot more than when they were littler. So,
and I believe when we look at that, we still have purpose.
Yeah.
That we have purpose. We're not there to buy their love. We're there to be there for them in whatever way we can. But I just know that in this time, with just how our society is, that it is so important that they have foundation, they have roots.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things is, I know when we went to, you know, not both of my parents are gone to heaven now. So I know for our kids, you know, they have a set of grandparents that are still living. And then of course mine are gone to heaven.
Right.
But I know they played such major roles in their lives.
Yeah.
Both set of grandparents. That was such a blessing because I just had one. You know, I had a grandfather. So, but they actually experienced having not only grandparents, they had great grandparents.
Yeah.
That they had a chance to experience, to see foundation, to, I mean, how many can really look and say, you know, my parents were followers of the Lord. My grandparents were followers of the Lord. My great grandparents were followers of the Lord. And they have, I look at the memorial stones and that's, I think that's one of the pictures that I got this past week, was that they need to be able, when they're older, you know, what will their vision be of me? What can they say they can remember of their grandparents? What role did my grandparents play in my life? You know, when I look back, like they had grandparents they had a chance to see serve the Lord, read his word, hear his word, going through sicknesses, seeing how they responded through sicknesses. They experienced love. They experienced kind of like our buffer because of we were like, you know, in it. And so I look at the importance of them having that, those same memorial stones, that they can say, wow, my grandparents were ones that prayed for me. They loved me. You know what I mean? It's like, I can reflect back on my grandfather. They have the opportunity to reflect back, not only on us, but the previous. So I want to encourage people who are grandparents. And if you're not, sometimes you must say, well, I'm not, you know, biological grandparents. You know, you can, there are still kids that will love to have somebody in their life praying for them. And I know that's one of the things with being foster parents, we were talking even with that, with kids.
Yeah.
And how someone was really surprised when I said, well, there's lots of foster kids that are 21 years old that still would like to be adopted. And I remember someone asking, well, why? And I said, well, you know, they have no family.
Right.
The majority of them are so estranged from and may not even know their family, or it's never even a safe place for them.
Exactly.
So you get to have history, you get to have holidays, you get to have to gather as a family. So I see that, and I see the importance of people wanting to belong and wanting to have someone to speak into their lives. And so I encourage people, you know, even for those who are single, I'm seeing a lot of even older single women that are adopting children, that are playing, you have a responsibility to the children.
That's right.
And that's one of the things that I've discovered, that what he's doing as far as what we're depositing into our grandkids, it's not even only just them. He will place us with people who have kids who they don't have grandparents.
Exactly.
That they're in need of having somebody they can love on, that can speak into their lives. And we're looking at saying, well, I've never had kids, or they're not my kids, or what kids. There is somebody, I guarantee, if you go over to a children's shelter and want to just be some grandmother figure or some auntie figure or somebody for them to know, I want to deposit in your life. I want to encourage you. I want you to know that someone's praying for you.
Yeah.
That someone is there for you. It's big
right
now.
It is big. Part of the problem in our society that we're seeing, And people are going, you know, I'm hearing people, especially Christians, talk about how bad our society is. But part of the reason is because we're unparented. We have these kids who are growing up or who have grown up, and they really have been missing, you know, whether it be a mom or a dad or both. And it's really that love is missing. Mm-hmm. And we stand back and we can be quick to judge what's going on, but we're not adding what God has maybe given us to add. And I if you're a single person out there, I just want to speak to you. I don't care. I mean, if you're 20 and single, I get it. You just haven't got there. But when you get to be, you know, 35, 40, mm-hmm. and you're single, it's like, what are you waiting for? It's like, I've talked to too many women, especially because we know there's two women to every man. So there's a lot more women who are single than men out there in that age bracket. But it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman listening to me. And if you think, well, you know, what you're waiting for marriage so before you can start living, it's like, you got it wrong. You need to start living and let God bring the marriage. It's like, go, you know, help somebody raise their child. Whether you go and you adopt somebody as a literal child that you can raise as your own, or whether you go and you join, you know, you see someone at your church who's, you know, a single parent, and you come alongside and say, let me help you, mm-hmm. or, you know, be that grandparent and be that, you know, assistant. You need someone that you want to go out on a date with your husband or wife, bring them to my house. Let me hang out. Right. Let me step into that role and be a babysitter. That's a more than a, you know, you get a babysitter there, you know, and I'm not putting that down, but you know, you go get a 15-year-old babysitter, that child is just going to sit there and look at their phone and put your child in front of a TV. But you go get a 45-year-old person, a 50-year-old person, and they're going to spend time with that kid for the most part. They're going to be playing games and talking to them and encouraging them. And there's all kinds of things that can happen. So it's just opportunity that's all before us. We just have to see the opportunity. Right.
I remember that song. I just started thinking about it. I believe the children are our future.
Yeah. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Let them lead the way. And these are our children.
Yes.
And I'm blessed that God has given us grandchildren, but I know that it's not even a period there.
Right.
That there are children that are in need of. I have, you know, some friends that my job, they're like, well, that's Auntie Adara, you know, and just over the years, like, because you've cared more for my little child than their own, or they're missing, or they're not an influence in their lives. So I believe he wants us to, as I'm talking, now I'm going to talk just the body. Mm-hmm. We are the body of Christ. And you look at how much Jesus loved the children. Mm-hmm. He talked so much about the children, and he was so adamant about not hurting his children.
Yeah.
And we are his body. We have a purpose. These children, we are part of, you know, the village concept of we're all part of the village to help to see. I want to see all the children go to be who God's called them to be, who don't even know that they have a purpose and design for this earth.
That's right.
So for me, when I look at depositing into grandkids, he's even shown me there's even more than you even know. But I need to have that heart,
right,
to know that it's not about just buying them, giving them things. There's parts of me of giving my time, but also giving my prayer and seeing that I want something fresh for them every day.
That's right.
That's my prayer. I want them to discover something new about the Lord, know about themselves, know their purpose, know why they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And I play a role in that because they're part of my generation.
Amen. Well, great place to end. Thank you all for listening. We'll continue again next week and pick this back up. Our love to you. Have a great week.
G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.